Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to the book of Acts. Pick back up where we've been these last number of sessions and believing that God would renew His presence in our lives. Amen. Visiting us with that power that we were reading about after they had ministered the gospel and had been persecuted and they gathered together and just cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant to us that we would be endued with power. Amen. In the midst of all of this opposition to minister to you, to bring glory and honor to your name. And then, of course, it says in fear, verse 43 of the second chapter, came upon every soul. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And so we see that this was a common day occurrence. And we need to begin to believe for that in our own lives. You know, we've seen miracles, we've seen the power of God, but it's so sporadic. And for many of our lives, you know, we don't really take time to get into the presence of God unless we're in crisis mode. And as I was sharing with the men yesterday in men's breakfast, we need to be aware that we're already in crisis mode because multitudes are going to a devil's hell and we need to do something about it. Amen? And as I was sharing the other evening, I've been praying, Father, just open my eyes so that I could not casually walk past people on the street without being moved for their souls. That as we go to work, as we go into the highways and the byways, that we would stop looking at the outward and the superficial. Stop dealing with the trivial things of life. And let God shake us to our very core. That we would begin to have a glimpse into the eternal and to the very reason as to why we're here. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. We are the light of the world. Amen? And we are the salt of the earth. And if we're not doing our job, the scripture says we're not good for anything. Think about that. The Lord says you're just meaningless to the kingdom. You're not worth anything but to just be cast down and trodden underfoot. Basically what that's talking about was that salt that had already lost its saltiness would be used as pavement. It would just be thrown down onto the dirt and used as something to be just trodden and beat into the ground because it's worthless. It has no other use. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be worthless to God. Amen? And that we would pray and just start believing, Father, somehow stop all this busyness in my mind and remove all of these trivial things that rob my time and my energy, my thought processes. I think time is so valuable to us and we've not given it the value because, beloved, we don't know how much time we have left. Our day's appointed. I mean, you don't know, man. You go out there and a guy on a cell phone take you out this afternoon on the way to lunch. You go to a concert and some guy shoots you. What are we doing with the time that God has given us? Redeem the time. The hour is short. The night is coming when no man can work. Amen? the whole duty of man. Love God and keep His commandments. You know what might be something that would help you out? It's something that I've tried to do and in my life, and I'd seen it in other men, they had spoken of it, but tithing your time in prayer. There's 24 hours in a day. And we use a lot of those hours up on things that are absolutely vanity. They produce no worth whatsoever in light of the kingdom of God. How valuable is time? What a great gift God's given us. Amen. And to ask Him to begin to give us, you know, this new outlook on life, and that our lives are not our own to just casually use any way we want. And to be prayerful and ask Father to order your steps. And then in the way to be conscious of people that you're around and whatever it is that you're doing. If you do happen to be out on outings during the day and you're in the grocery store, or of course every day you get to go to work and see new faces and people that you don't get to see other than at that particular place. What an opportunity to preach the gospel. To get to know these people, to let them know that God loves them. You know, in the wintertime when I walk in the mall, I've shared with you, I'll just walk into stores and talk to the people that are there, because there's no people there buying anything. It's just people standing in the stores working. The malls are all dying around. But all the employees, they got to show up. And so I'll just walk into the stores and go up to whoever it is working and just say, hey man, I've been in here and I'm just walking and praying and interceding. Anything in your life you need prayer for? Do you know that Jesus loves you? He sent me here today to let you know that. What's going on in your life? We are ambassadors of God. Amen. We've got a job to do, praise God. And He says He wants to empower us to do that job. But the power doesn't come until we're about His business. We want the power before we go. He'll give us the power as we go. In faith. And so, you know, as we see this mandate that was given us, and here the disciples had gone in power and boldness, and Peter had been preaching there in this second chapter in verse 38 and was commanding them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and that their sins would be remitted, that they would then receive this great gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I've been rereading, I've read it many times, but rereading again that book, 2,000 Years of Pentecostal History. And looking back and seeing all through the history of the church, even during the dark ages, that the church was alive and there was power and there was manifestation of the Spirit in every generation, praise God. It's never waned. The book of Acts is still being written, praise God. I wonder what the Acts of the Apostles in Sterling are going to read. The books are going to be opened one of these days. What's God going to say about this church? What's God going to say about your life when the books are opened? How much are we living for the kingdom as opposed to living for ourselves? How much of your thought goes toward others and the body of Christ and the lost souls in our community, as opposed to how your life can be made easier, more cushy and advance and What are we spending our time on? Where our treasure is where our heart will be. I want my treasure to be the glory of the Lord. I want my treasure to be the exaltation of the name of Jesus. I want to be able to glory and rejoice in being about Father's business as these men that we're just reading about here this morning. I thank God for the grace that He enabled us to have in the midst of persecution and trials, to be able to just rejoice in it and to be able to bless our enemies. Amen. To believe God for deliverance and to realize that the reason you're in it is because you proclaim the gospel without compromise, without fear of men's faces. And so as they're in this chapter boasting in the Lord and delighting in what God has done, His great message of verse 32 of this second chapter, I want you to know this Jesus God has raised up and we're His witnesses. As you and I go out into the highways and byways and proclaim the free gift of salvation, the remission freely of men's sins. This gospel that you and I are very familiar with. But let me make this statement. We're very familiar with it, but if it was working in us to the extent that it should be, we would be very willingly proclaiming it. We spent a lot of time, and I won't go back there, but we looked at the Ephesians church, and the question is, have we lost our first love? You see, if we've lost our first love, it evidences itself in our loss for the love of souls, and we're not freely giving that we freely received. We've devalued this experience of regeneration, except in how it pertains to us. And so we see then that Father's wanting to do this great work in our lives here. He's wanting to stir us up again and realize that, when He tells us in Acts chapter 1, He tells us in verse 8 that we would receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And we've taught on it many times, but that phrase, receive power, lambano dunamis, lambano means to take. It means to avail yourself of. Amen? Kind of like yesterday, we're to avail ourselves of the Holy Ghost like many of us availed ourselves at the dessert table yesterday. Wasn't that good? That was good eating yesterday, praise God. And every day there's a banquet table of the Holy Ghost laid out for us. And there's tongues and there's interpretation of tongues and there's prophecy and there's miracles and there's gifts of healings and there's words of wisdom and there's words of knowledge, and we can take whatever we want. If we don't have it, it's because we don't want it. We don't want it enough to do what it takes to take it, praise God. But it's available for us. You take power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You involve yourselves in situations to where we need, beyond our own strength, the power of God to be able to finish this task that's at hand. And we have to draw on God to finish this work. We get ourselves involved in witnessing to somebody, and the next thing you know, we're dealing with legion. And we need to take power, amen? And be able to realize we are very capable of casting out devils. And we are very capable of laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. We just have to do it, praise God. And you shall receive power. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. We mentioned in men's breakfast yesterday. If the signs are not here, if the signs are not evident, the belief is not real. And we need to do something about that. Amen? We need to stop playing church. We need to stop being just another fundamentalist organization. You might as well believe in the doctrine of cessation if you're not practicing the power of God. And God is calling us to stir up the gift that's in us, praise God, that we receive by the laying on of hands. Unto you, your children, all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We are a chosen people. For generations now, God is handing down. We have in this fellowship 3 generations already. We've handed down that gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That 3rd generation ought to be stronger than the 1st one if we're doing it correctly. But where you used to stand, you now panic and run your kids to the doctor. When you were first filled with the Holy Ghost and you used to pray and believe God, we now run to the banks and we run to the doctors and we run to the whatever it might be, herbal people, herbologists. We've received a great heritage and we better not lose it. Amen. When I read these books and I look back at some of these great pioneers and I remember that through the heritage of my grandkids and through the heritage of their maternal side with Frida and them, that her family, their families were involved in the original outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And for generations, Frida's mother, Frida, Janet, Kimberly, Haley and Hope, 5 generations. We can't let it go. To your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I thank God. I just rejoice in what Father's done in this last year or so in our midst and are going out as we've never have before and sharing the gospel. The Lord's doing good things in our midst. Amen. I know there's been a stirring in each and every one of our hearts here for the love of souls. I am not minimizing that. I'm saying there's more to be had. Praise God. I'm surely not here rebuking us. I'm here trying to exhort us that there's more available. Hallelujah. As the other night as I was sharing, don't give up. Keep believing the miracles that we've talked about of God supernaturally drawing people in here. I thank God for the testimonies like we've heard in the past on more than one occasion as you've been out witnessing and ministering and people looking and responding and saying, do you go to Calvary Temple? Let me just share with you, everybody is not boldly out there sharing the gospel. Thank God for His grace, amen? Amen. But I want to tell you something, there's more to be had. And when you go out to work and you go out in the highways and byways and you go out and continue to look for those people to declare this glorious gospel to, there's going to be more opportunities for you to lay hands on the sick and they recover. There should be a knowledge that goes out from among this place. I'm not talking about building a reputation for our fellowship. But I am talking about building recognition. They were recognized. That group of people were known for who they were. Those are the people that turn the world upside down. Amen? You want to be one of them? I do. You go out there and they go, you're one of those people. You say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And when you walk out of the door in the morning, Satan and all his cohorts ought to be saying, hide the women and children. And you shall receive power. Where is it? And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Where are they? They're there for the taking. Amen? And you shall take power. How would you rate your appetite this morning? Your appetite for the very presence of God. The very power of God. Let me tell you something, beloved. Scripture is very clear. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. When you have that appetite and you're hanging with Jesus, it will become evident. Amen? And people will know who to come to then. And they'll come to you and go, remember in the scriptures? They'll come to you and they'll go, sirs, we would see Jesus. We know you know where he is. We know you know how to get a hold of God. I need him. Oh, that we would become that light. Somebody's got to. You've got to work while it's light. The night's coming. Somebody's got to do this. Might as well be us. Amen? And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, Jesus moved in that ministry and he has passed that responsibility and that power on to you and I. In Luke chapter 4, go ahead and turn over there for just a moment. And it's just such a great glimpse into Jesus' life and God's intent for the church. It's Jesus living out what he commanded the church on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, if you look over at Matthew 5 and the passage that we were just referring to, let's read it for just a moment and keep your finger there in Luke 4, but just look back at Matthew 5 for just a moment. And he's coming out of the Beatitudes and he's telling us, you know, here's what makes the kingdom tick. Here's the things that are valuable in the kingdom of God. Here's some kingdom promises. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled, praise God. If you're merciful, you will obtain mercy. The pure in heart will see God. That's a Holy Ghost alert. And then in verse 11, as he goes on, he said, and I want you to know you're blessed when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Don't you want that to be real in your life? A lot of us don't want that to be a part of our life, but Jesus says you're blessed if that happens. Well, no, thank you. I'll just take all the other ones. But it's inevitable. Men will hate you because they hated him first. Isn't that what he said? The fear of men's faces, the pride of life that wants to fit in with everybody. We're not of this world. We don't love this world, and they don't love us. We love the lost souls, but we do not love the world system and its God, Satan. And so in the midst of him unveiling here these kingdom principles, he's telling us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for we have a great reward in heaven if you'll get persecuted for his sake. He said to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You know, if we're not hated, we're not preaching the right gospel. If we're not hated, we're not standing for the kingdom of God like we need to in this generation. It does not take much to get people to hate Jesus in this day and hour. Amen? So how is it we're going under the radar? I'm sure not talking about being abrasive, arrogant. I'm not talking about being confrontational, argumentative. I'm talking about taking a stand for purity and holiness and an absolute uncompromising stand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father but by Him, and that there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. And if that is boldly declared without compromise, with the purpose of sharing the love of God and seeing men repent of their sins and be reconciled back to the Father, not just to win an argument, not just to think we're appeasing God in obedience, I'm talking about having a compassion for lost souls. I'm talking about loving the unlovely. And there are so many that are unlovely. We're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're barely above the unlovely gauge on our good days. And then there's those other days that we don't talk about. Somebody took time to share with you. Somebody took time to love you. Somebody took time to live it before you. Somebody took time to not take no for an answer. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody fasted for your soul. Go and do likewise. Even as God, for Christ's sake, loves us. And so he said, if you're going to share this gospel, then don't think it's strange that men hate you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you for his name's sake. No, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for you have a great reward in heaven. Hallelujah. He goes on then and he says, now listen, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now it's not enough to be light. We got to get on the lampstand. Amen? You may not have the light under the bushel, but it is not the most prominent thing in our lives, many of us. I try to live a good life, and, you know, if somebody asks me, I'll tell them what I believe. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, praise God. I've given you power to go into all the world and proclaim this gospel. Stir us, Father. Stir up that power. Cause us to take that light and get it on the lampstand. That the name of Jesus will flow from our lips profusely as rivers of living water coming out of our innermost being. We cannot help but speak the things that we've seen and heard, praise God. If you don't have anything else to share, you can sure sell your share your redemption and your salvation. Amen. Once I was blind, and now I see, praise God. You know, we've quoted that phrase a number of times in the past. Our eyes are dry because our hearts are dry. Jesus was moved with compassion when he looked upon the multitudes and saw them as sheep without a shepherd. I've asked Father to just give me that shepherd's heart in a way that I've never known it. You have a good shepherd and bishop of your souls, the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. And he's given an under shepherd to care for you. And my prayer has been most recently, Father, just help me to be faithful in that task and to care for your people and to intercede for each of your lives. I've asked God to give me a love for you that I've never known before. I want to love each one of you individually more. I want the value of souls to be enhanced in my understanding. Both those that are the flock of God and those that are lost and without a shepherd. The judgment seat of God is at hand. You know, we the church, we are going to be judged, not at the great white throne, but we're going to be judged. Lord, when did we see you naked and hungry and not respond and minister to you? And he's saying, I'm in every one of those needs out there that you pass by because I died for every one of them. I bore their pain. I bore their hunger pains. I bore their brokenness. I bore their loneliness. I bore their rejection. I bore their perversions. And I just ask you to go tell them. And you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me. I think we need to up it on the priority list, that love of souls. Stir our hearts, Father, that we would know that great love and that we would love with the same love. Don't take this light that we've been given and hide it. Put it on a candlestick. Put it on the hill, praise God. Let your light, verse 16, so shine before men that they might see your passion, your compassion, your zeal for the eternal things, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God will get all the glory. Amen? We don't want the glory. We don't deserve the glory. But we need to respond and we need to do good works and we need to be about His business so He'll be glorified. I love it when these athletes make some kind of a play or something and they point up to God. Yeah, right. I wonder how much of the salary he gets. Oh, help us, Father. And so in Luke 4, we see that this admonition for us to be filled with the Spirit, Jesus exhibited in His own life. And we made the comment, you know, the other day, we said if Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to conduct His ministry, how much more do we need to be filled? Amen? And we all understand that Jesus did not do His mighty works based upon His divinity. Now granted, in the incarnation, God in His genius was able to invade and infiltrate humanity through the incarnation. Jesus, the man, was totally God, but totally man at the same time. And He chose, God chose, to set aside the divinity aspect as it pertained to demonstration of power and knowledge and all of these attributes and live solely as a man dependent upon the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit. So that you and I would have a prototype. So that He would be able to say to you and I, you walk as I walked. Amen? The things that I did shall you do, and greater things than these shall you do, because I've gone back to Father. He's at the right hand of God, praying for our success. He's praying. Jesus is praying right now for doors to be opened and we don't walk through. Jesus is praying for souls and He's leading people to us and we walk right by. All that we would be conscious enough to realize how our steps are being ordered of the Lord. And we'll look at Jesus' life and the life of the apostles as we go on in this study. But Jesus will send supernaturally people into your life to be ministered to, just like He did Peter there as he came into Cornelius' house. God will lead you to the woman at the well. If we truly understand that all of our steps are being ordered of the Lord, that we'll pray on a daily basis, that we'll be quiet. When you get in the car to go home, do you just automatically go the same way? Do you listen? Are you ready if the Holy Spirit would tell you, hey, I want you to take another route home today? Well, I can't. I've got an appointment and I've got to get home and I just read the story of a guy the other day, and I don't even know if I can remember how, yesterday evening, and I'll try to recall the thing, but there was persecution that was going on, and the Lord spoke to him, and he said, I want you to go down the street, a couple of doors, and he said, there will be a door that's open, I want you to go in there, I want you to go up the steps, and the first door you come to will lead you to this little room, and that will become your hiding place. And so he immediately followed that voice. And I don't remember the duration, but as they were going through and persecuting and killing believers, and every day a chicken would get into that room and lay him two eggs. And that went on every day until people had left the town and he was safe to come out. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to believe that God still has ravens today. We don't have to panic. We need our faith stirred up. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. We need to crave the supernatural, to live in the supernatural. I do not believe that everything that makes life so easy on us is necessarily blessings of God. However, I do believe that God wants to bless His people. That balance that Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. God doesn't mind us prospering, but God does not. He made it very clear as the children of Israel, when they went into the wilderness, He made it very clear. He doesn't want us thinking we got it for ourselves, that it belongs to us, that we obtained it with our right hand, and that we become so involved in it that we forget God. Amen? The priorities. And so we want to exemplify the life of Jesus, and we realize then that as He came and the power of God came on Him at His baptism. Oh, He was a child of the Word, wasn't He? You remember when He was a little boy and He came up missing and they got all concerned, and so they rebuked Him. Mom and Dad rebuked Him, and He said, what are you doing rebuking me? You didn't know, you should have known where I was. You'll always find me about God's business. You'll find me in the house of God. Amen. Jesus grew up in full obedience to the law of God. He read the law. He memorized the law. He obeyed the law of God. He didn't sin. And so here He is, a sinless, absolute, obedient follower of God who needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we know the story, and on whoever you see the Holy Ghost descending and abiding, we want you to know that is the Messiah. That is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, as He walked by. And so the Spirit descends upon Him at His baptism. And chapter 4 of Luke says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and then was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Just because you feel like you're in the wilderness this morning doesn't mean you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Just because you feel oppressed and Satan is coming against you and lying on you. He's lying. He's a father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. If you're the, all of these questions. If you're a Christian, if you're really saved, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, why do you find yourself in this situation today? Where's the power as we were asking the question? Where are these victories? Why do you feel oppressed this morning and depressed? Why do you feel cast down, O my soul? None of this wilderness experience that you're sensing this morning indicates that you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Don't believe those lies. There's a miracle inside of you waiting to happen, praise God. The ability of God is in you. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I have given you all power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Hallelujah. That's who we are. There's a passage in Micah that I like as the prophets are all being rebuked and the power of God is being withdrawn from them by God himself. And he says, you're not going to be able to, you seers are not going to see anymore. You're going to experience darkness. The voice of God is going to depart from you. But then look what Micah says here in Micah chapter 3 verse 8. You don't have to turn over there. Yeah, but truly, I am full of the power of God. I'm full of the Spirit of God. I'm full of justice and judgment and might. And I am able to carry out this message of declaring the truth of God to Israel. Hallelujah. God has his men. Amen. And as the devil makes accusation today against all of the church, I want to tell you something this morning as we close. We need to stand up and say, yeah, there's a lot of truth, but we are the people of God. We are that people. I am that person that God wants to show himself mighty in. And so the scripture goes on in this fourth chapter, and it says that the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he was tempted, and we know all about that. But then look at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He was led into that wilderness by the Spirit, but he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit as God had refined him and purged him and tested him. Well, it's time for the trials to end and for us to enter into the victory. Amen? Amen? It's time to return in the power of the Spirit and to move in that anointing that God has for those that trust in His name. For these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. Father, we ask you this morning to stir our hearts. We ask you this morning to let us know we are that man. These signs shall follow me. Hallelujah. And he marveled that there was no one that he could send, but were to stand up and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Praise God. Make that the desire of our hearts this morning. Here am I, Lord, send me. I believe. Help my unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, mashobarabasanda babatakata. Take that power this morning and be loosed. Take that power this morning and be free from that habit that's kept you in bondage, that's beat you up with guilt. And make today your day of deliverance. Cast down that covetous heart in the name of Jesus this morning. And be free. Hallelujah. Let that pride and that ambition die this morning and say, Lord, make me that man. Remove the fear of men's faces and anoint us and cause us to know, yeah, we're going to be persecuted, but we'll rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Oh, they were so thankful that they were counted worthy to suffer in your name. And they said, Lord, give us more power that we could go suffer again and show yourself mighty and stretch forth your arm and heal in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. It's our prayer this morning, Lord. It's our heart's desire. We hunger for that visitation. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I want to be that man. Lord, here am I. Send me. Hallelujah. I don't want to be worthless. I don't want to be trodden under the foot of men. I want to rise up and be seated in heavenly places with you. Move us, Father, and let men see our good works and glorify you. And for that, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, maso baba da da da. Glory to God. Well, turn to somebody next to you and say, let me see the good works, praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.